offer, not either. So, now, Father, thank you for our veterans. And Lord, bring healing to our country. It was really neat this last week. Our grandkids, grade school, they interviewed their grandfathers and fathers and uncles, aunts, those who had served. And then they shared that in the assembly. And that's just so neat. And then they honored the veterans that were there. So thank you. Thank you for Jesus, who also stood up for us and died for us as well, to purchase us eternal life, heaven, a relationship with you, redemption, getting back. Lord, you're doing a work in our church. It's life groups, that idea, meeting in homes, has just kept coming up from different ways, different angles, which we want to join you, Lord, in what you are doing. So show us how. Be our guide. You're our shepherd. We're your sheep. That means we hear your voice. Lord, if we're not listening, speak loud enough to break through, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. And Lord, bless our youth as they're probably getting close to wrapping up right now. Cliff did a devotional on, we're not as friendly as we used to be. And it is interesting. It can go back to the air conditioner. I think it also goes back to the TV. The average American spends 3 to 5 hours a day watching TV. Do you struggle with that? I struggle with that. And Greg, you don't struggle with that. We watch 22 minutes a day, usually. And that's the nice thing about having a DVD and watching an old show. But when my daughters come in, Krista, this last time from North Carolina, I mean, we want to play games. And I just said, can we just turn off all the lights, light a candle, and just talk? You know, and it's like, well, that's weird. But we just sat on the couch and talked. Do you have a hard time just sitting down and talking? I do, don't you? And so there's just not air conditioning. There's TV, and then there's this thing. I mean, it's incredible. You know, I tried to get another flip phone, and they laughed at me. So now I have one of these, and it's more connected than ever. Interesting statistic. People who say they are lonely or don't have any friends has tripled in the last 20 years. Tripled. So something's going on. So I want you to stand up. Oh, don't stand up yet. We're going to do nameplate, house, family. Family work. Thank you. See, I need to. Yeah. So say it with me. Nameplate, house, family, work glove. You're going to stand up and you're not going to get out of your seat. Okay. And you're going to shake hands with everybody you can reach. And if you don't know their name, that's nameplate. If you don't know where they live, just, hey, where do you live? Family, like, you, and then work. Where do you work, or where do you used to work, or what do you do with your time? Okay, we're going to learn to be friendly now. Deep breath. Oh, okay. Stand up. Try it. Let's do it. Okay, start shutting it down. Okay, now get back to your seats. Of you who disobeyed and got out of your seats. And turn with me to John chapter 1. Turn with me to John chapter 1. Go ahead and stand back. Keep standing. John chapter 1. Not bad. Okay, keep. You can tell who the extroverts are. They're still talking. John chapter 1. See, once you start, you can't stop. Isn't that great? Okay, John chapter 1, page 1647. John chapter 1. You guys are good. Good job, good job, good job. I would like to start, but this is something next week when you say, you know, everybody take a seat, just say, shake hands with everybody around you and sit down. And you have to say the sit down in such an authoritative way, which I would like to learn from how to do that, but anyway. I'm sorry. Get in your seat, Barb. Now, look at how God, Jesus, uses relationships. He uses friendship. John chapter 1, verse 29. And remember, John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus. And maybe they hung out together some. Maybe they, during Passover, they went to the temple together. We don't know. But John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John, that's John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen him and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" The next day, John, that's John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. We know later on, these two are John, as in the guy who wrote the Gospel of John, and Peter. Oh, I'm sorry, John and Andrew, Peter's brother. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look," same message, "the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you'll see." And so they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon, who later became Peter, and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," or rock, stone, which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the hometown of Bethsaida, so these guys probably all knew each other. Philip found Nathanael, a friend of his, and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can any good thing come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here's a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, you have made us for relationship. It is deep within us. It is part of the image of God. It's who you are. You are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have always been in relationship. You said to Adam, it's not good for the man to be alone. Solitary confinement's the worst thing they can do to you in prison. And our culture is just withdrawing, and we don't even realize it because we feel so connected with TV and internet. But it's electronic. It's not personal. It's not real. We don't know how to sit down and talk anymore. We don't know how to just share. And we're, please, Lord, please. Statistics just read that 60% of the births today are to single moms. And how half of women, even though they go to church, don't feel connected and supported. Wayne got up here telling us about veterans and 50,000 on the streets, not feeling they can cope, feeling disconnected, unsupported. Father, you're doing a work. Change us. Use us, we pray. Thank you for Friend Day last week. And bring our friends back. Thank you for those who did come back. Use our friendships, Lord, to take us to the next level in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Dan, if you could do this as God's word. We'll do that in a second. Here we go. Ready? This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be like Jesus and bring others to Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Give each other a high five or tap, tug or something. And take a tap is what I'm trying to say. Now in America, 85% of churches have plateaued. In other words, they're not growing, and most of that 85 are declining. In America, if a church is growing by 5% a year, that's a real growing church. In South America, there's a guy named Luis. It's green. No, it's good. Oh, hey, we're back again. Okay. What? Check. Do you want me to use this? No. Okay. All right. Well, this sermon will not be on CD, so we can say whatever we want. So in America, yeah, if a church is growing by 5%, that's incredible. Do you know that once we went to one service back in 2012, we just basically stayed 170, 180. And then you lose 12% a year. That's people die. I mean, people do die. People move away. People get disgruntled, or they go to another church, or they totally drop out. Anyway, there's this guy named Luis down in South America, and when he got saved, I don't know where to stand. When he got saved, he was put in a group of 12. And they talked with him and said, okay, are you into any kind of pornography? Are you into alcohol? What's going on in your life? And he was put in a group of 12. And then he was told, a year from now, you'll have your own group of 12. In 18 months, Luis started a home group, a life group. And then that group split, and that group split again, and that group split again, and that group split again. And in 18 months, Luis's one cell group had grown, are you ready? In 18 months, to 250 home groups. More home groups than us total here. Is that incredible? Who did that? Jesus. He's this big. Is that incredible? And see, what we've been taught is to kind of evangelize, like, Bev, when you go fishing, what do you use? Use jigs. I have no idea what a jig is. Is that? I was hoping you were going to say a pole with a string and a hook, right? And then a jig must be what. And you've caught how many fish at one time? 101 at one time. Now, there's a trick to this. She has a husband who keeps baiting or doing and cutting them and doing. All you do is throw the line in, right? So, I mean, that's really neat. But how many fish can you catch at a time with a pole? One. How many can you catch with a net? More than one.
This is so much fun not being on CD. Okay.
Jesus caught one-on-one with a hook. He talked to the Samaritan woman. He talked to Nicodemus. He talked to Philip. But he also used a net. And he used John the Baptist, his cousin, who's preaching to crowds. And he walks by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, "Look, the Son of God and the Lamb of God." And Jesus, who was one, all of a sudden became three. Jesus, Andrew, and John. And then John or Andrew went and talked to Peter. And Peter joined him, and the three became four. And then Peter picked Philip, and Philip joined him, and the four became five. And then Philip goes up to Nathanael and says, "Hey, we found the Messiah," and the five became six in maybe a week. Is that incredible? God's still doing it if we would start working with relationships.
Lindsay and Joel, would you stand up? Jim and Darlene, would you stand up? Cliff and Holly, would you stand up? Mark by himself, would he stand up?
And I'm missing Bob Lowry. Okay, Bob and Sherry Lowry. Okay, these, one, two, three, there's five. And keep standing for a second. When we sent out, Cliff sent out the survey, and Cliff, this is so neat. This is God here. Cliff says, "This is really weird. Everybody who signed up who wants to maybe host a life group, some kind of fellowship, Bible study, accountability, relationship thing, we're all from different areas." So Cliff and Holly are from Marlington. Are you in Marlborough Township? You're in Lexington Township. Mark, you're closer into Alliance, and you're in Lexington Township too, aren't you? You're in Washington. Okay, but they're just on the tail edge of Alliance. Jim and Darlene are from North Benton, which is really, it sounds far away. But how many minutes is it from here? Like 20? 20 minutes, not bad. And then Joel and Lindsay, even though they had a nice house near their jobs, why did you move to Hartville? Oh, I could get into no CDs every week. No, honestly, well, you did have a reason, didn't you?
I feel like we've always liked the area, and it's closer to Lindsay's family.
Baltimore, and we're like, well, if we sell the house, this is where God wants us to be. Didn't think we'd sell the house. It took. And then it took 5.5 months, and we were taking it down after this showing, and that girl bought it. So we're supposed to be here.
So Alliance. I'm sorry, what, Cliff? Oh, that's right. Philip, sorry, stand up. And you live where? Straight north. So we have north, Bob and Sherry, south, east, but, and west. Thank you. Give them a hand if they're willing. We don't know what we're doing yet. Thank you. Now, what are people looking for in a life group, in a home group? Notice here that James or John and Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for hope. In the surveys taken both here with life groups and across America, the number one thing people look for is fellowship. A group where I can share. A group where, you know, the old cheer song, where everybody knows my name. A group that I can be honest with. A group that will support me. Now, at the same time, I don't know if I can ask for a raise of hands here. How many of you feel you have enough friends? I mean, be honest. I mean, I don't know that I can take any more friends. Liars. Bunch of liars. Thank you, Mark, for your honesty. And you're going to be part of leading a group. Great. That's just wonderful. Here is the research. And I feel so much peace right now. This is different for me to feel peace, too. But you have something in your brain somewhere where it's your relationship folder. Everybody has one. You know what? That relationship folder that you have in your brain is limited. You are limited. You're a needy, selfish, self-centered person, but you're also in the image of God. There's only so many relationships you can take. It says in the book of Proverbs, the man who has too many friends comes to ruin. It also says the man who is unfriendly comes to ruin. So there's some kind of balance. So I love research like this. Guess what the average person can handle as far as friends? Ooh, 5. Dozen, 10. 3. And all answers are correct. The average total is 150. You're way behind. Well, see, that's acquaintances. And then there's this other research. And see, what I was taught in seminary, I'm sorry, Bob, I caught you. What I was taught in seminary that what is really good about a group is when you really get intimate and close. And you can just share anything. I mean, how comfortable are we doing right now, Bob? I mean, this is, you feel it? You're feeling it, aren't you? You got to get close. You got to share everything. No, you don't. So what they figured out is that you need, I don't know how they've done this, but you need 32 contacts with just your culture or your nation. I'm proud to be an American. I don't have to know your name to be able to sing that with you. I just need to feel I'm part of something big in a group. Missionaries like who go to India, after they're for a month or two, they're like, I just want to eat a hot dog and apple pie. I just want to see somebody who knows who Justin Bieber is. You know? But I just need to be a part of the culture. You know, Bryce, how many games have they won so far? But they were good in the preseason. But like with the Cavs or the Indians. Do you know, when they have a game and the fans are heading to there's this synergy and energy and laughter and talking. Why? Because they're excited and they have something in common. But you have to know the person's name? No. You just need to be part of a big group. You high-five them. You just need a big group, and it's good. Well, so that's 32 times, but then you need 16 times of contact with a more specific group. That'd be like a church or a school. And again, you don't need to know everybody's name. And see, that's one of the things that keeps churches in America from growing, because we have this thing, I have to know everybody's name. Unless you're a genius, you're not going to know everybody's name. Give yourself grace. And Satan comes and whispers up to you. See, you don't know everybody. You don't know everybody. And we do the directory, which is good. And we put faces. That's good. But know that the average person, no matter how big the church is, you know what the average, how many people the average person knows in a church? 40. 40. So if you're under 40, you're a slacker. But if you're at 40, stop beating yourself up. Your brain only has so many folders in there. There are so many files. So then you need 6. Then you need 8 times with a group where you do know everybody's name. And that's like around 20 to 40 people. And then you need 4 times contact with a group where you're starting to get honest. You're starting to say where you really are. That's a group of around 12. I forget what number I'm at. And then I think 2 times. I'm sorry, it just keeps going down. You know, 32, 16, 8, 4 times. Then 2 times with your 3 or 4 folks that you really can be honest with and you really can share. And then only 1 contact where I did with what, like I did with Bob, where it's really intimate face-to-face. And so you need all of it to be healthy. Some other research. You need 5 types of friends. Barb needs a hug, Bob. Yeah, you need to hug everybody. And I think that's part of your spiritual gifting. And you're good at greeting. And it's neat. And people feel loved. Amen? Amen. Except watch Bob. I'm not sure. That's all right. We don't have to hug, I feel. Anyway, you need 5 types of friends. And whenever you see something, like on the internet, whatever, and don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Be thinking biblically. Is this biblical? I mean, it's the research, but maybe they're really off. But the first kind of friend that was listed was unique, somebody who gives you comic relief. Yeah, you like that, don't you, Jesse? That's more our personality. You need a person who can help you laugh. Now, is that biblical? Help me. Is that biblical? What? Give me a verse. Laughter is good medicine, Proverbs. Jonah. He was comical, yeah, he was. Yes, laughter is good medicine. The joy of the Lord is our strength. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Do you have a friend who can lighten it up for you? Secondly, do you have a friend who's a life coach, who you respect, who's probably further along than you are in maybe business or marriage or family or his walk with the Lord? Do you have a person who is a mentor? Do you have a person who you can go for and gives you sound advice? Is that biblical? I thought Jesus is our only leader. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. So you need a comic relief person. You need a life coach. This one isn't fun. You need a truth teller. You need a prophet. You need somebody who will look you straight in the eye and say, you're full of beans. That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. How many wants a friend like that? You understand? Yeah, you got one. But you need that person who's going to be on, right? You really do. All you guys who are prophets are shaking your head. Yeah, that's right. But we do. We need you. Hallelujah. So comic relief, life coach, prophet. You also need a gambler. We might shouldn't call him that, but is that biblical? Somebody says, take a risk. Get out of your comfort zone. Try it. See what happens. You got to get, right? Don't you need friends like that? Come on, loosen up a little bit. But not to gamble. Take risks. Janet, if you could stand up. Yeah, brace yourself. So you need the comic relief. See, they can't see this on CD, even if we are. They need the truth teller. They need the gambler. What's that? They need the life coach. I go to Janet a lot for wisdom. She is. She really is. And the fifth thing you need is you need somebody who's loyal. Whether you're up or whether you're down, whether you're good or whether you're bad, is going to be there for you. Amen. 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 Give her a hand. Well, it is 10:35, and you don't know how far I was really planning on getting, so we're going to stop. Did somebody start to clap? Oh, that's a prophet right there, whoever started clapping. But this is what we need to do, and I'm going to do about like 5-minute application here and talk more about it next week. This is the kind of stuff we need to do, but now I want to say something here.
You don't have to be in a life group, but you do need to be in a group. You don't have to come to Sunday school. You don't have to go to men's meeting. You don't have to do the women's. But you need to be doing something. There needs to be some kind of connection somewhere. Joel, I'm going to pick on you, Joel. You are doing Kairos. I don't think you have time for a life group. Kairos is a life group for you. Do you hear what I'm saying? But if you're feeling disconnected, please stay for Sunday school. It's the best time. You're already here. We have childcare already set up. If you feel like you need to go a little bit deeper, I just need to be with women, then Monday nights. I need to be with men Thursday nights. Because God's made you for a relationship. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand up and pray together. Father, thank you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And thank you just for the comfortableness. Lord, we even thank you for the sound system not working right this morning and just giving us even more freedom. Hallelujah, Lord. You are good. You are doing something. And thank you for these five couples, all from different areas. Lord, that's you're doing something. And help us to follow. Lord, help us to connect. And maybe for some of us, we need a larger group. We need a Sunday school class or a men's, women's Bible study. Maybe some of us need that one-on-one or one-on-two or three, the smaller, where we really can get honest and share our struggles. Lord, you made us for this, and you made us to minister in this way. You made us to evangelize in this way. Lord, to help us learn, especially from South America and Korea. Like in Korea, 50% of the population claim to be born-again Christians who attend church, who tithe. It's just incredible what's happened there. Do a work here, we pray. Lord, help us too, because Satan wants to attack here and wants us to lay on guilt. May we only do what you're calling us to do, Lord, and trust you in the process we ask. And if you're here this morning, and like Peter and Andrew, John, Philip, Nathaniel that we read, Jesus wants to be your Savior, your Lord, your Messiah. He's saying, come, follow me. He is the best friend. He is the best relationship. I encourage you to pray from the depths of your heart, your being. Lord Jesus, I want to be in relationship with you. I want you to be my Lord and my boss. I want you to take over. I want you to show me how to live. Because you died for me, I believe, and you rose again. Come into my life and help me follow you. And please, if you're praying that for the first time, see me after the service and persevere and walk with Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the love we feel this morning and the relationships. Expand them. Help us not to get all inward, to keep our focus out. To love you, to save souls, to grow believers, and to serve all in all things. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We're going to end with how many songs? Three songs. Veronica, if you would come forward, if any men would or women would like to pray, and Jeff,